Welcome to Breaking Cyber Barriers. I'm your host, Liz Faginas, cybersecurity recruiter, certified executive coach, trusted advisor, and partner of Philip Madison, a woman-owned cybersecurity search firm with over 20 years of experience. My podcast will delve into the world of cybersecurity, uncovering trends and exploring its limitless potential. So join me to hear how industry leaders share their experiences and strategies for success. Today, I am proud to have as my guest, Vikram V. Vikram is the founder and CEO of Nandi Security, the maker of Kabian, an intelligent digital safety product for smart homes. Vikram has over 25 years of experience in the technology industry, including over 15 years in cybersecurity, working at or with some of the largest cybersecurity companies in the world. After spending most of his career in enterprise security, Vikram founded Nandi Security to address the consumer cybersecurity problem given the explosion of apps and smart devices in homes. On the academic side, Vikram has three master's degrees, master's degree in mathematics from the Indian Institute of Technology, Chennai, master's degree in computer science from University of Missouri, Columbia, and an MBA from Cornell University. And also, Vikram is an avid cricket and soccer fan. So, welcome, Vikram.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to our topic today. So, the topic is AI and machine learning in cybersecurity and the various threats targeting consumers. But before we get started on our topic, can you briefly give us an overview of Nandi Security's focus and offerings?
Absolutely. So we focus on the consumer problem, like you said. So we focus on the smart home. So the number of devices, apps, etc., and the smart home is exploding. So we take a holistic approach at looking at how can you protect against cyber threats and privacy threats in the smart home. And we take the approach that when it comes to the individual consumer, you cannot address security without addressing privacy. So we address both aspects of it, and I'll talk more about it today as well, is what we call the attack surface of the home. So we make a cloud-based product called Kabian, which in my native tongue of Tamil means guardian. And it's a simple cloud-based product, can be enabled in any home. There's no software to install, no hardware to buy. And we have a consumer site, so if you want to enable it for your home and try it out for free, you could do that. Or subscribe to the product, you can do that. But we primarily go to market through partnerships with small broadband service companies that essentially resell our product or deploy a product to their subscriber base. So they're able to do innovative bundles like a smart home bundle or a remote work bundle or safe internet bundle, etc. So that's what we do and that's how we go to market.
That's very exciting. I'll have to talk to you later about that for myself. What are some of the new AI-enabled threats and techniques targeted towards consumers today, and what are the implications?
So let me step back a little bit from that question. So in terms of if you want to do something bad against somebody, you need three things. You need malicious intent, you need resources, and you need skills, especially when it comes to attacking somebody with a cyber attack, right? You needed these three things. What AI has enabled is that's actually reduced the barrier on two out of those three things, right? So, well, it's not just AI, but it's also cloud computing. So you have cheap cloud computing. So pretty much anybody has access to like an insane amount of resources, right? And then second is AI, the way I look at it is to reduce that skill gap, right? So you don't need to be somebody who needs to code or you don't need to understand deep technical detail, etc., to the extent that you had to before. Or even if you did, the velocity with which you could now perform has significantly improved as well. So if you look at intent, resources and skills got significantly reduced. So we're already seeing examples of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when ChatGPT came out, I think within like 2 to 3 days, researchers showed that they could use ChatGPT and make a malware that went past pretty much all of the major antivirus platforms. So pretty much every signature-based system can now be bypassed like in minutes by somebody with barely any skills. Second, it also is now enabling people to do things. It's still a cyber attack, but in a different way. So one thing is you're not getting all these phone-based scams. So you get a call late in the night. It sounds like your grandson. And the grandson says, I got arrested. I need bail money. And there's going to be a guy coming to your home. You need to hand it to him. He's going to come and bail me out. Whatever, right? And it sounds exactly like your grandson, speaks like your grandson. And it's 2 a.m. in the morning. You're going to do something, right? So we've already seen examples of this, voice cloning, et cetera, that where AI is being applied. Third, this one made the news a lot, visual as well, right? So we saw this company that lost, what was it, $20 million or something like that, where everybody looked like they were executives of the company in the Zoom call, and this poor employee thought the management team wanted him to do something and scammed him out of that. So there are all of these examples that we are now starting to see that we didn't see before, that is AI enabled, and are now easy tools in the hands of the attackers. Now, let's also be very clear about what else AI enables here, right? Which is that it's not just the bad guys. It's also the people who we think are good, right? So companies that also target us for marketing, companies we buy products from, companies we buy services from, right? In our daily consumer lives. And this is actually an actual technical marketing term. They actually target something called your prime vulnerability moment to get you to engage in behaviors that indulge in a purchase. So to push you and nudge you, etc. So literally it's based on all of your past behaviors, things that you bought. So all the data being exfiltrated about you, either through what you've already voluntarily provided or through your behaviors as well across your apps and devices and services, right? So if you go onto an app and you search for something, and then next thing you go to Google, so Google suddenly is showing you ads for similar products, right? So how did that happen? How did that sharing happen between what you thought are completely two different entities, right? And why is this person able to now nudge you towards that purchase? I have a good friend who used to work for one of the biggest online retailers. And he said, one of the things that he told me stood out to me a lot. Based on the amount of data that all of these companies already have on us, they are able to now predict to an extreme high degree of accuracy what we can be made to do. And this may not always be in our best interest. So to me, that's the hack too. And that too is an AI-enabled hack, right? So this is the new world that we live in. And this is what are the implications, is that there's going to be obviously criminal ones, but there are also been millions more. In terms of highest volume, it's the targeting of a vulnerability moments that's going to be the higher volume on any single day. Today, we, with our own product, see that 10% of your traffic in your home is complete junk, right? Everything still works fine, but it's all related to tracking and data exfiltration from your home. And that amounts to thousands upon thousands of attacks per home per day. So it's not just the good guys and the bad guys. There are lots of shades of gray in this, and everybody is part of this ecosystem who wants something from you, which may be against your will, or you may be nudged to do something for them. And that too should be construed as an attack. And they are now better enabled because of tools like AI.
I appreciate you going into detail. There are a lot of vulnerabilities. So what strategies will need to be adopted in order to better defend the smart home?
So consumers, first of all, need to understand one thing. In the enterprise, you have trained people, so they understand this. Consumers need to understand that it's not defense, it's not protection, it's risk reduction, right? So what you're really trying to do is you're trying to raise the cost to attack. So why do we put door locks on our home? It protects you against that one guy who's trying to break in, right? But we all realize that it doesn't protect you against a guy driving a truck into your home. But you did raise the cost to attack, right? Somebody now has to drive a truck to get into your home. So that same mental model needs to be well understood by consumers when it comes to protecting the smart home. What do you mean by protection is really risk reduction. Second aspect is that when we're talking about smart home, that's something that's what, 5 years old, 6 years old, you can say 10 years old, but it's still within a decade. And it's an evolving, emerging thing. So a smart home today is going to be very different from a smart home tomorrow. We are already seeing it's not just devices that you're buying, but in the future, there are going to be devices that are embedded, that are going to be ambient, not just in your home, but they also interact with what you take in from your home when you're outside as well. And last but not the least, it's already getting implanted as well. You all have pacemakers that are internet connected, and Elon Musk wants to put something in your brain now too, right? So that is the future of the smart home. When you start to think about this, you need to think about what I referred to earlier as attacks of the home, right? So when you think about the attacks of the home, you also have to think about not just what's coming in in terms of devices, apps, and new websites you're using, but also what's leaving your home, right? You get rid of old TVs, you get rid of old routers. How many of us remember to do a full factory reset on that? Your old smart TV has the password to your internet connection. Your router has all the passwords, and it also has logs in it that show you IP address, what you went through, etc. So people don't think about what's getting out of their home as well as the device footprint and the app footprint expands. So when you delete an app, are you doing a full reset? Are you telling that company to delete all your data? Are you telling them not to share your data? Are you doing all of that, right? So what comes in and what goes out all constitute that attack surface of the home. So now, what is the strategy? So strategy is essentially, you got to think about risk reduce, which means that I don't need to outrun the bear. I need to outrun the slowest person in the group that's trying to run from the bear. So that's the same mentality you have in enterprises. So when somebody tries to attack your specific home, you want to make it expensive that they go, you know what, waste up my time and energy. Maybe I'll move to the next person who's less effort. So the strategy behind this, and this is true in the enterprise, and we need to bring it into the home, is that what's true in enterprise cybersecurity is it takes tools, people, and process. And the same thing needs to come into the home. So tools, companies like us that make it, you also need process. When we leave the home, we lock our doors, we lock our windows. Nobody needs to tell us or remind us about that. We just do it. So we need to bring that same kind of mentality into our digital habits as well. And last but not the least, and this is the biggest gap, is that in enterprises, you have trained security people with certifications, CISSP certifications, et cetera. But you're not going to have that in every home, right? So people need to start getting involved, and the companies looking to solve this problem also need to look to ways to bring people into the fold. So I think you need to address tools, people, and process and bring that into the entire fold in order to be able to better defend a smart home.
So complicated. It's mind-boggling, actually, when I think about it. So how are companies like us focused on consumer cybersecurity thinking about solutions to the problem other than what you've described?
Yeah, so first of all, we look at it as attack surface of the entire connected home, right? So what is your attack surface? It's your devices, it's your apps, it's your websites, it's your online services. All of these are entry points into your home. And the way we think about it is that all of these can change. You can bring in new devices, you can get rid of devices, so you can bring new apps, websites, all that. You're also very likely to change your router. Every few years, all of us go in and buy the latest router so that we get the greatest speeds inside our home, etc. And we also do change internet service providers. So all of these can change in the home, but our thesis is that your cybersecurity and privacy posture should not dramatically change as a result of all of this. So given an ecosystem where all of this is always in flux is the problem statement that we look at. And our approach is, well, at the basic minimum, we need to block the known bad. So that's table stakes. We also need to significantly reduce the data footprint, at least what happens in terms of direct exfiltration from the home. And this is not to say what you are voluntarily giving your information to a company, right? No, nobody's trying to stop that. But it's the involuntary exfiltration of information. And third is, which is what I mean by you need to bring people into the processes. Well, how do you bring people into the process? You give them understandable, simple information so that they can make informed choices on the internet habits. So a malicious site is a malicious site. There's no two ways about it. However, privacy is subjective. You may trust a company that I may not trust. You may be comfortable revealing your information to that company. So that's okay, right? But you're making that choice for yourself and your family, whereas I'm going to make a different choice. But then the choice needs to be based on knowledge of what is happening with your data and the entity involved. So how do you bring the consumer into that fold and give them that understanding? So the way we are thinking about it is, I like to go with an analogy here. If you are an Iron Man fan, you know Iron Man has his AI sidekick Jarvis, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I think, and this is what we are building towards, is every home needs a Jarvis. So you can change everything in your home, but there's always a Jarvis constantly guarding your home, not just blocking the bad stuff, but also advising you and telling you about things before you do things as well. So that's part of how we think about the problem, so that now people can engage with their own private Jarvis and ask questions. And what I'm hoping is that in the long term, as a result of, hey, I know this is bad, Jarvis is telling me this is bad, and oh, Jarvis has blocked some bad stuff, in what I mean by Jarvis in this case, is actually our product, Kavalin. And now they see, here's what I need to be doing. Here's the things I need to be checking. And you drive what I like to call a cyber hygiene muscle memory into every person. So like I said, nobody has to remind you to lock your door when you leave the home. Same way, when you bring a new device, what do you do? When you bring a new app, what do you do? A new online service, what do you do? And it's just automatic in its muscle memory. And you have the tool and an advisor in place. So the way we think about it is, as far as I'm aware, so far, we're the only company in the world that can deploy individual cloud firewalls to every single home. And that way, anything in the home can change, but your security posture and your privacy posture has at least a strong baseline minimum that never changes. And you get to control it and you get to fine tune it. So that's how we like to look at the problem and solve the problem.
So you're really helping people become extremely proactive.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. What an offering. So before we close, is there anything else you would like to add?
Absolutely. So in all my talks, all my podcasts, I like to say a few things. One is, when it comes to cybersecurity in the home, there is hope here, right? So if you went to somebody maybe 150 years back and you asked them, what is an oil change? They'd probably stare at you blankly, right? But today, every single one of us knows what's a car and what's an oil change, right? And same way, I think what we all want to be doing is developing these habits ourselves, the cyber hygiene muscle memory, so that we can pass this on to our kids and our grandkids. So the way we are going to be remembered 100 years from now, or even 75 years from now, is a grandchild saying, hey, my grandfather taught me to oil change. No, my grandfather taught me about staying safe in the metaverse, how to navigate certain dangers in online areas, or how to better identify AI, right? These are all core life skills that I developed because my grandfather taught me that. So that's the kind of mentality I think we all need to bring in, because what we are solving for is really a problem that's going to exist for the rest of humanity. Computing is here, AI is here, and we need AI-enabled defenses and also AI-enabled habits that we want to develop and pass on.
Interesting. Well, who knows? Our grandchildren may be living on space for all we know.
Exactly.
But that's fantastic. I so appreciate everything that you shared. It's been extremely informational. And I thank you so much for being my guest today, Vikram.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So that's a wrap. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Until next time.